broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. No doubt starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is indeed the broadcast for November the 14th in the year of our Lord, 2016. This is our one of two, and our goal always to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. It's incredibly simple. We use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. We're convinced the checks and balances put in place by our founding fathers are absolutely brilliant and one of the great solutions to restore the republic. You see, we stand different from most folks. We're not for revolution. We want a restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to the broadcast. They tell you we're anti-government. They lie. But don't worry, Donald Trump has exposed the mainstream press as the liars they've been for some time. And now Americans are starting to see straight and hopefully turn to new news sources. The New York Times losing readership, viewership in droves for good reason. All right, a quick recap of the broadcast. Hope you had a delightful weekend, by the way. We had our guest on, Mr. Kevin Blake. He's the Florida director of the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, the CSPOA.org. CSPOA.org. Become a member today. We talked about Veterans Day and how grateful we are for those who have served. And we really focused on striking a balance between really being grateful for, appreciative of, respectful to the veterans who have really given their lives, their everything on the altar of keeping us free. And I commend them for doing so. But you know what? A lot of times they end up being pawns in wars. And a lot of times they end up getting abused by those who send them. We need to really be careful to understand that, you know what? Just like we hate the sin, but love the sinner, we want to have mercy. I know there's justice, but we want to push towards mercy. We want to be realistic about the proper role of government. And we don't want to let anyone be confused about what we stand for. What I mean by that is we are grateful for those who served, but we do not revere war mentality like people soldiers. In other words, we're grateful for their service, but it's a humble responsibility. The guy's a hardcore soldier. He's a rock star. We don't want to be a warlike people, folks. It's that simple. And there's an incredible balance. And the way that you do that balance is you thank them humbly for their service. They humbly express, "You're welcome, sir," kind of an attitude. And then we move on to ways to take care of them when they get back. Ways to show that we're genuine in our appreciation for them, that we don't treat them like rock stars. That's not what they want to be. They don't feel like rock stars when they get home, I can tell you that. And we need to make sure that we don't border that in a way that's negative. We need to just come home and be polite, be respectful, and take care of them and their families. There's heartbreaking stories about the trouble soldiers experience when they get home. And we need to make sure that we never let a family of a veteran suffer more than is necessary. I know going to war is a suffering experience, but we can do things. But the answer is not in government, folks. The answer is to deal with it within our churches and within our private organizations. Oh, government has a role to play. Don't misunderstand me. But that role is fairly limited. We do have an obligation to them. I do very rarely do I accept government payments to anybody. But in the case of the veteran, there are some times where it is appropriate and necessary because it's been their job, right? And now if they've been wounded in battle or harmed in some way, we do have an obligation there. We need to have a very appropriate balance, but then leave the real love and guidance and reform and stabilization and acceptance and all happen in communities and in the churches. In other words, the government that governs closest to the people is best. And the freely given charitable donation is the most valuable because people who give those actually care. All right, Sam Bushman says Donald Trump needs to make a pro-life stand in his administration as a top priority. We need to overturn Roe versus Wade big time. And we need to literally cut all funding to Planned Parenthood. That ought to be the top critical issue for Donald Trump. Others said, Sam, you're right, but we also need the wall. Because otherwise, hey, if you're not careful, if you don't get on it in 4 years, they'll let so many immigrants in that they'll tip the elections their way next go-round. You're right. They're very close to that. We dodged a bullet this time. Kurt Crosby says we got to have honest money and deal with the Federal Reserve issue. Boy, is he right on that. It's a target-rich environment. It's very hard to know what to do first. But Mexico is bracing for the fallout of a, quote, Trump presidency, the mainstream press lies. See, we want to make Mexico great again, too, folks. Let's think about that. We want to make Canada great again. Now, these nations can be great if we have honest money and if we teach them the true principles of liberty and we teach them true principles and let them govern themselves. So this is not a hostility towards Mexico. We shall break it down. We'll talk about immigration a little later in the broadcast and what our recommendations would be. Donald Trump plans to begin the process of constructing the wall on the southern border of the United States. They claim he's going to start on that in March. Trump's constitutional tools to drain the swamp? Well, it's a stunner. They're saying one of the greatest tools he has is the 10th Amendment. And boy, do I concur with that reality. Believe it or not, people thought the shoe company New Balance was endorsing Trump, so they burned their shoes. Turns out New Balance isn't really endorsing Trump like they claimed. All right. I guess we fact-checked people in photos, bawling their eyes out, White House staff, etc., because Donald Trump took over. And, well, it turns out that Obama's staff faked like they were all crying. They were false photos, says IJR. Photos taken from different times, etc. They just manipulated the truth like CNN has been caught doing quite often. A Muslim student, a female, claimed that white men wearing a Trump hat assaulted her. Now police are setting the record straight. They say it's bogus. She flat out lied and admitted it. Wow. Now, the mainstream press doesn't know what to do because Donald Trump has done everything they claim that he can't do. Oh, he'll never even make it out of the primaries. Oh, he'll never even be president. Oh, he can't. Oh, and they've been wrong on everything thus far. Now what they say is, well, he can. He can do all these things, but it's super, super complicated. So the headline that I saw, but it's relating to every aspect of everything Donald's talking about, Trump could trash Iran deal, but it would be way complicated, says USA Today. That's what they're saying about everything. Oh, he could deal with health care, but it would be so complicated. And he could do this, but it would be so complicated. They're acting like it's impossible. Well, it wasn't so complicated for them to destroy America. It shouldn't be too complicated to reverse the trend. For example, we talk about the new world order. Donald Trump victory promises to offend the international order, writes Peter Baker. Wow. What didn't the experts get wrong, Sam Bushman asks. That was 1 hour of Liberty Roundtable Live on Friday. Second hour, we had our guest on, Richard Mack, CSPOA.org. We talked about this press release from the First Presidency and the 12 Apostles of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And they congratulated U.S. President-elect Donald Trump. And then they went on to say, you know, we appreciate everybody being part of the election and the system, and everybody should do what they can to stand for the proper role of government. LDS.org if you want to read the details. We brought that up because Utah was kind of center stage in this election. Everybody was mad because, hey, they weren't going to go for Trump. And then they said the Mormons just don't understand freedom. And everybody thought, you know, wrote articles about the so-called Mormon mafia, which, by the way, doesn't exist. I'm here to tell you. And they just went off crazy. And so that's the reason that we kind of bring this up is that the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints welcomes President-elect Donald Trump, congratulates him, and a 50-plus percent of the Mormons, the people in Utah, and by the way, just so you know, Utah is about 50% Mormon. It's not as Mormon as you may think it is. Nevertheless, I bring all this up to say 50-plus percent for Trump, this McMullen character, and Hillary didn't even have a chance in the state. It was just the mainstream press that lied to you over and over, and I literally told you they were lying. So there you have that. Trump wins Arizona's 11 electoral votes, leaving two states still undecided. Hopefully Kirk can check that out for me and see, are they still undecided? Literally, the longer they're undecided, the more I'm convinced they may be just committing vote fraud. We also talked about hundreds of thousands of Hillary supporters signing petition to overturn election results. Hillary, you, my friend, as you criticize Donald for not accepting the election results, you, my friend Hillary, need to bust out and tell those hundreds of thousands of supporters They want to overturn the election results. You don't, because you believe in the rule of law, and you're going to accept the election results now, aren't you, Hillary? Good girl. Now go get it done. Election could still result in Trump-Clinton tie. Mainstream press lies. They say that an AP analyst is saying that. They're goofy. There's no tie. It's clear. Donald even won the popular vote now. Trump haters are now crashing, trashing, and burning their own property. Wow. Trump plans to defund Obamacare on day one, but now we hear there's a mix-up. I'll tell you about it. Liberty Roundtable live in seconds. Sam and Kurt on your radio.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello everyone, James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
So at first we hear over and over and over that Donald Trump is going to defund Obamacare on day one. But then we hear that, well, Donald's going to abolish and they're simply going to get rid of Obamacare. And now we hear Donald might want to keep two provisions of Obamacare. So the sad thing about Donald Trump is that, you know what, it's hard to know where he stands on things. I'm not trying to be critical here, but I am telling you, look, he's got to abolish the current system entirely. He's got to defund it and shut it down. And then we got to have a brain trust and talk about what the best healthcare solutions are. And I personally would direct everybody to Ron Paul's healthcare bill that he put in place, or that he tried to float a long time ago, many, many years ago, because it's the best private sector free market plan on the planet. So, not only that, Ron Paul is a physician, so you know it makes sense that he'd understand and have one of the best handles on healthcare, being the free market man that he is. But I bring it all up to say Donald better not cave on these two provisions, because pretty soon it'll be two, then it'll be six, then it'll be, well, we're just going to tinker around the edges. You got to be really careful that doesn't happen. One of the provisions that Donald wants to keep is this idea that, you know, everybody can have insurance, we'll take care of every condition. And what they don't understand about that is if you do that, you literally bankrupt the system, because there's no funding for that kind of mentality. Everybody has to hedge their bets. Everybody has to evaluate the, quote, risks and rewards. And if you don't do that, if you say government will just take care of everything no matter what, then there's no check and balance on expenses. There's no reality check to stop the expenditures that'll sink the system. And you say, Sam, don't you care about people? What about people that are in over their heads that can't afford health care? No, there's got to be a coming to the table of realism of how much you can spend. And it needs to be an individual decision between a family and their doctor, not some bureaucratic institution a couple of thousand miles away. Anyway, I warned Trump not to compromise on this. Do not look for your replacement before you defund and abolish health care, okay? Don't do it, or you'll lose, I promise. Hillary supporters stage massive anti-Trump election protests in cities across the country. Hillary, you need to call off your dogs, I told you. You said you'd accept the election results. Now get it done. Trump says, I do think a lot of the polls are purposefully wrong. He said that back in the day before the election. And now the mainstream press is saying, golly, how did we get it so wrong? How did we get it so wrong? How did this happen to us? How did we miss the boat on? No, they're lying. Donald Trump said it right. They're purposefully getting it wrong. Don't let them schnooker you now and go, how did we get it wrong? Golly, we're just so beside ourselves. We didn't mean to, but we got it wrong. No, they intentionally got it wrong, folks, because they didn't want Donald Trump to be president. They had an agenda. And boy, did they push hard for that agenda. And now that they've lost, ladies and gentlemen, we need to really be careful to, again, we hate the sin, but love the sinner. We need to be very kind to these media people. But we also need to take no prisoners when it comes to policy. We cannot compromise with them, or we will lose. Donald, remember one of your early speeches talked about a snake? When you finally got conned into picking up the snake, it bit you? And then the end of the story is, you know what? I'm a snake. You knew what I was. You knew what I'd do. That's what you're going to get when you get in bed with these government insiders on the Republican and Democratic parties. And that's what you're going to get if you play ball with these thugs that have done everything they can to destroy you. So you don't need to be rude. You need to be Christian and kind. But you also need to take no prisoners, take no games, take no quarter for their ideologies at all. You need to reject it and stand for the sacred cause of liberty. Unequivocally, without compromise, stand for liberty. Executive orders, pardons, midnight regulations are all expected as the Barack lame duck presidency comes to a close. Donald, you better watch for that too. Trump, believe it or not, won America. He spent less than a sandwich per vote, less than $5 per vote. He literally took the nation by storm and did it with, well, a lot of money. But compared to the history, not too much money, if that makes any sense. He really changed the game and proved that with a lot less money and an incredible ground troop, you can win the war. And he won, got elected, and now the other side doesn't know what to do. We need to make sure that we take advantage of it. That's a recap of Friday's hard-hitting talk show. It is available on your Roku player for free. Look for the Liberty News Radio channel on your Roku or online at libertyroundtable.com. If you want incredible talk radio, though, more than just the award-winning Liberty Roundtable live show, libertynewsradio.com has many incredible talk shows 24/7. Check it out, libertynewsradio.com. Also, our award-winning news site, libertynewsdaily.com. Check that out as well. And if you have the heart to donate and help us grow, we'd love that too. All right, without further ado, Kurt Crosby with me. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
All right, Kurt. The headlines, we'll start with this. Michael Moore, quote, "Don't call yourself a Christian if you won't oppose bigots and Trump's America." Let me say it again. Michael Moore, quote, don't call yourself a Christian if you want to pose bigots in Trump's America. Now, I want to talk about this headline, Kurt, because it's not Trump's America. It's We the People's America, Michael Moore. And I'm so saddened that you don't understand this principle. Okay, Donald Trump was elected the leader. That doesn't mean this is Trump's America. It wasn't Hillary's America. It wasn't Barack's America or Bill's America or George's America. It's We the People's America. All right? Let's make that very clear. The other point that I want to make, and I want Kurt Crosby to respond to this. When you say don't call yourself a Christian if you don't oppose bigots. Now, there's several points to this. I'm concerned in the way they use these terms. Because if you're, you know, promoting evil, then you're not a bigot. If you're promoting God's law, then you're a bigot, Kurt. And I got a problem with that whole notion from Michael Moore as well. Any thoughts on that? If you stand with God, you're a bigot. If you're white, you're a bigot. If you stand for, you know, principles of the Constitution, you're a bigot. People need to be afraid of you. If you stand for the rule of law, you're a bigot. This is the problem with this statement from this guy, Kurt.
Well, that's a great point, Sam. And, you know, you look at this, it's, well, it matches up with what we've been told in scriptures. In the last days, good will be called evil, and evil will be called good.
Now that I've rejected many of the manipulations and perversions of what Michael Moore says, I do want to agree with something that he said, though, Kurt. Don't call yourself a Christian if you want to oppose, and then he uses the word bigot. I want to replace that with this. Don't call yourself a Christian if you don't call a spade, Kurt. In other words, we need to be very gentle and kind, and this is what I said in the first segment of the broadcast today. Those people who we believe opposite regarding policy, okay, the Hillary Clintons of the world, the Michael Moores of the world, all these socialists and perverts and everything, you know, we don't need to be mean to them, Kurt. We don't need to be unkind or hostile, or we can be Christian. We can be kind and considerate and bring people together. And we can do so in a meaningful way that has answers. But we don't need to accept their policies. See, that's the lie. If I'm too aggressive, then they say I'm not Christian. If I'm too kind, then they basically steamroll me. And so there's a balance. And how do you achieve that balance? Well, I wrote an open letter, really to the nation, but mainly to leaders in the media, Kurt, some time ago. What, I wrote it on May 12th? Is that when it was? I guess it was, yeah, May 12th, 2016. So June, July, August, September, October, November. Basically, I wrote this 6 months ago, Kurt. And it's Sam Bushman, author, open letter, a clarion call for civility. And I'm hoping Kurt Crosby can grab that and we can read that in the next segment. I hate just to go back to my statements in May, but this is really important at this time when everybody seems to be fighting and melting down and arguing. And there is a better way. And I think we ought to start with that. And maybe Michael Moore could listen up. Instead of starting out by, you know, attacking Christians as bigots, maybe we ought to go about it a little differently, Mr. Moore. Maybe you'll jump on board with this idea. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg. However unlikely it may seem, Donald Trump, a lifelong Democrat until at least 1999, an unabashed supporter of legalized abortion and Planned Parenthood until roughly a year and a half ago, a twice-divorced man whose current wife posed for pornographic photos, and for many years a close and outspoken friend and political ally of Bill and Hillary Clinton, won the white evangelical Christian vote by historic margins. Trump closed the deal with born-again leaders and voters by telling them in his blunt way exactly what they wanted to hear, writes Jonathan Swan of The Hill. He made unprecedented promises, including releasing his potential list of Supreme Court justices ahead of time. He also added a litmus test, vowing only to appoint pro-life justices. Not even George W. Bush, a favorite of evangelicals, entered office with an ironclad promise to defund Planned Parenthood. Trump has put that pledge in writing. Trump's personal history, which includes the previous divorces and hundreds of lawsuits from people who were not paid for contractually delivered goods and services, makes a compelling argument that Trump has never considered a written, notarized, and enforceable promise to be ironclad. But the chief motivation for Trump's evangelical supporters to trust him was the identity of his opponent, as Tony Perkins, president of the Family Research Council, summarized the matter on Wednesday. For many conservatives, joy awaited them this morning when they saw that Hillary Clinton wasn't going to be president.
If you want a win-win-win opportunity for patriots, think GiveMeLibertyFund.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's LibertyNewsRadio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today. Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
And this half hour is brought to you in part by your scientifically backed free vigor test. How would you like more energy, less frustration and anger and discouragement and confusion? All right, natural health and healing products can get that done. Get a hold of Kurt, take the free test. Use natural health and healing products and then take the test again and you'll watch your improvement. It's incredible. Get a hold of Kurt to learn more. C-U-R-T at libertyroundtable.com or 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. And if you want raw honey delivered directly to your door, say, Kurt, tell me about the raw honey deal as well. 801-669-2211 or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Quickly, by the way, looks like President-elect Donald Trump pledges to forego his presidential salary during his time in office. Wow. Good for Donald. We commend him. It's one of the things that we advocated for, and we're delighted to see that he agrees. Good for you, Donald. All right, now, back to this Michael Moore, don't call yourself a Christian if you don't oppose bigots in Trump's America. Listen, we don't want to use the bigot term because it manipulates people's views. In other words, it's very divisive or divisive. We don't accept that. What we want to do is judge things and principles. Judge things and people on principles. Okay? I want to look at the circumstance. I want to look at the issue, and I want to judge it based on sound principles. Not on whether I like somebody or I don't, or I this or I that. It's a principled-based discussion, okay? And the reason that I bring that up is we can have a clarion call for civility. That's my article. And I want Kurt to read this article because we wrote this 6 months ago, and I stand by it today, Kurt. All right, I'll try
Very
to...
Very good. Oh, I thought you were going to continue on when you said... Kurt, anyway, sorry about
yeah.
that. All right, so here it says, an open letter to talk show hosts, newsmakers, and all media personnel. I have become more and more alarmed as we watch increasing divisive, never-ending battles and downright hostile attacks that seem to permeate every segment of our society. Men against women, black against white, rich against poor, liberal against conservative, gay against straight, and even believer against the unbeliever. It's truly crazy. Even those who claim to be on the same side find something to feud about. Sadly, America has become a house divided. Surely she cannot stand if we allow the current negative trend to go unchecked. there must be a better way. When we think about it, we agree on much more than we disagree. If that's true, then why is it that we spend so much time and energy on our disagreements? Thus, it is vital to downplay or minimize our disagreements while spending the bulk of our time focusing on that which is productive and on which we can agree. In short, building common ground, coming together, and advocating for productive solutions should be the order of the day. Further, we should agree that there is a difference between free speech and attacks that cross the line, limited by laws surrounding defamation, libel, and slander. Protection of First Amendment rights and respect for one another is a prerequisite to restoring trust in America today. Might I suggest what we lack most in our so-called enlightened day is open, kind, and moral leadership. What we need is good, honest, and wise statesmen. We need Americans who are governed by moral principle in thought and deed, in private as well as their public lives. We need leaders who will lead by example and show us a better way. We should always be willing to follow the Prince of Peace and stand for that which is right. We should be willing to talk and work with everyone in an effort to unify all people to make America great again. I, for one, will try harder, will accept constructive criticism from others, and will commit to do better. In the spirit of eternal optimism, we exhort all Americans to demonstrate true leadership by returning to the high moral standard of civility in all we do and say. Indeed, we need to treat others as we ourselves would like to be treated. We look forward to working together to show the American people a better way as we make America great again. Even though we may disagree on some issues, we can still have open dialogue and respect for one another's beliefs. As Hall wrote in The Friends of Voltaire, "I disapprove of what you say, but I will defend to the death your right to say it." After all, isn't this the pure genius of America?
Now, I bring that up, Kurt, because we can really go out to the mainstream press and be hostile to them. We can really say we were right, you were wrong, the pollsters are, you know, and all those things really have truth to them. But we need to be very careful not to just run around and say I was right, because we start to lose the moral high ground when we do that. We also don't really want to attack people who have maybe not done so well in the past. We want to be careful that we don't get snookered, but we do want to lead with a kind, civil position. So, for example, Mr. Mike Pence is going to replace Chris Christie as the Trump transition team leader. See, I think that's a good move. Now, a lot of people are concerned about Pence, and they say he's a globalist. All I can tell you is I think Pence is a lot better than Chris Christie. And I think Pence has done a lot to stabilize the Donald campaign. And I, for one, am going to give these people a little bit of time to see what they accomplish rather than just criticize the stuff coming out that I'm concerned of. I'll take Obamacare as a great example. You know, we first heard they're going to abolish it. I hope they do. But now we hear they're going to keep some planks of it. I pray they don't. But I also am going to give them a little bit of, they may not, you know, hit the ball exactly where I want it to go, but they may do a great job nevertheless. So let's give Pence the chance. Corey Lewandowski also quit working for CNN. Resigned following Trump's victory. So we might find a spot for Corey somewhere. Report, Donald Trump's transition team is filled with Washington insiders. Now, again, that may be true and that may not be true. We got to watch it unfold to really know. For example, lock her up. Donald Trump hasn't really even thought about the details of that. Lindsey Graham says Ted Cruz should be a SCOTUS judge. No stronger constitutional conservative, Lindsey Graham says. Now, I normally don't trust what Lindsey Graham says. But I also can see, look, we've got to get an appointee or two to the Supreme Court as soon as possible. We've got to work on a lot of these plans. And one of the most important plans, Kurt, is this immigration plan. Now, I got an email from a listener overseas. Dear Sam and Kurt, I'm sending you this email from Socialistic Europe. I think it's great that you guys have Trump as president-elect. And not only because Hillary would be the worst candidate, but because it's great for somebody outside the system to be working on America's problems. What I can't understand is something easy. Like, why bother to feel sorry for illegal aliens? They are coming in an illegal way. Why are they not following the law? If I would present a lecture in the U.S., there would be a lot of administrative demands and reports. Anyway, he goes on and says, why not find a way to build the wall, to build the fence? Why not find a way to allow people to come to the United States easier? The Dutch media is talking about several things. How terrible the U.S. illegal immigration policy is. How it is impossible that Trump will build the wall. The hate of the American people against Hillary because she's a woman. Well, anyway, he goes on. But his real point is this. Guys, let's get productive solutions going. And in general, Kurt, we agree with that. But I don't feel as hardcore on immigration as others do. And let me kind of explain what I mean, and then we'll have Kurt jump into this. I'm not saying that we don't need to reject illegal activity, because we do. Okay, illegality is wrong. It isn't a matter of, you know, people coming to America, and it's not a matter of people's skin color. It is a matter of the law, and we must uphold our laws or we're not a nation. Donald Trump got that spot on. So how do we handle this? Because now you've got a system that's broken, and everybody wants to put the blame on the illegal. And I agree, they deserve plenty of blame. But I put the blame squarely on the United States policy. We're the ones that created this crisis. In fact, in the Ronald Reagan administration, he already gave amnesty to a ton of illegals. And then all they did was reset, press the reset button and create the same crisis 20, 30 years later. How do we deal with this? What are the answers? Sam and Kurt will break it down in seconds because something needs to be done. But what and how and who? You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live.
This is Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and I want to introduce you to Numana Storable Foods. This is the first brand of storable foods that I am willing to put my name behind. It's food you can trust. No GMOs, no MSG, no chemical preservatives, and no fake meat. Plus, Numana doesn't just make that claim. They back it up with independent evaluation and testing. Another thing that Numana really does that excites me is the delicious vegetarian options. If your standards are as high as mine, I can confidently tell you that Numana Storable Foods are the quality choice that you've been waiting for. Numana won't just meet your expectations, they will exceed them. And that's why we're thrilled to have the good guys from Numana joining the Power Hour family. Go to powerprepper.com and learn about Numana Storable Foods. You can also call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Numana, the storable food you'll love to eat.
We fought, we learned, we struggled.
We won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together.
Recent studies show that parents who smoke in the home are more likely to have children who smoke.
Yes, in fact, my brother, he's 22 now, he told me and my father that's why he started smoking. One of the reasons why he started smoking is because my dad was around, you know, and they saw my dad smoking. My dad said, okay, I don't want you to smoke. I don't want you to, you know, watch what I'm doing.
Recent studies also show that in homes where parents don't smoke, their children usually don't smoke either.
I am the way I am because my grandparents taught me what not to do. They gave me morals. They gave me belief. They gave me something to believe in. They just taught me well. I love them. I do.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
The issue, the question at hand is illegal immigration. What is to be done? That's a serious issue, ladies and gentlemen. Donald wants to build a wall, and I support a wall. We need to stop illegality, no question. But I blame most of the problems on the United States government and our current laws, and the unwillingness to enforce our laws. Okay, we shouldn't have the choice whether we just enforce them or not. If we don't like them, we need to get rid of them and change them. All those things are possible, but just thumbing our nose at the laws is a problem. Reagan granted amnesty to a ton of people, and then we run around and create the same crisis 30 years later, but 10 times the problem. That's the issue here. And so I am not saying the illegal doesn't have some responsibility, but we can't just run around and act like the illegal's the enemy. And, you know, America's just fine. No, it's not just fine. Joe Arpaio tried to stop illegality in America. Now Joe's in jail. Well, he's not in jail yet, but they want him to be. Okay? We need to be realistic about who's responsible for what. And our policies have got to change. There's no doubt about it. The first thing I would recommend is this. Everyone can agree that we need to get rid of criminals. So, you know what? Let's deport to the country of origins all the criminals. They're estimating it's about 2 to 3 million people. Some are saying it's less than that. Fine. Let's get rid of those folks. We don't need criminals here. They don't belong here. And they need to go back to their countries of origin. I think illegals can agree with that because the illegals that are here illegally, they don't want criminals in their neighborhoods either. They don't want rapists and ne'er-do-wells destroying their freedom and liberty and safety either. So let's start by making America safe again and deporting, getting rid of how many ever illegals there are. And I don't care if it's whatever country. Send them back to their countries of origin. I think everybody that's a law-abiding citizen and even illegal aliens would agree with that. No one wants criminals here. And the reason I say we ought to do that first is because it deals with a significant chunk of people, and everybody in America could literally agree that, you know what, we don't want criminals here. Even the illegal groups could agree with that. And what you want to do is decrease the problem, simplify the problem to where you don't have mayhem in America. Once you get rid of the criminals, the likelihood of massive protests and rioting and pillaging and plundering will be reduced significantly. And everybody can agree it's unifying as well. Secondly, what you do is you call up Mr. Nieto. If you're Donald and you say, Donald, I want to chat here. Let's sit down and solve this problem. We want to make Mexico great again also. Why don't you help me do that? And you know, a lot of these people don't want to leave their homes. I've talked to plenty of Mexicans. And they're nice, great people, many of them. And they say, you know what, we don't really want to leave our homes either, but a lot of these South American and Central American countries, when they're not safe, people want to leave for safety reasons. People want to leave to give their children a better life reasons. And people leave because they want to take advantage of an innocent culture and become criminals. So we've got to stop criminality. If you're a criminal, you're not welcome here, period. We need to vet these people. If you have diseases that could make Americans sick, we don't want you. No offense. You might need medical help, but we can't help you by letting you run around the streets of America. So we need to vet these people very hard, and then we need to find a way, a legal appropriate way, to let new people come, but only after we've locked down the border and only after we've found a way to deal with who's in our country illegally. Just because someone's an illegal, that doesn't mean they're a criminal. And yeah, we want to say, well, they're illegal, they've broken the law, they are a criminal, Sam. You're wrong. And I say, no, that's not true. You can't blame people for seeking a better life
And you can't blame people when you've literally rewarded and created the carrot for them to be here. And creating them as second-class citizens along the way. We knew we should have reformed this and dealt with this properly in the Reagan days, and we didn't do it. We have responsibility too, folks. Now, how do you handle it then? Well, you know, a friend of mine said, Sam, why don't you just have Mexicans on the American side build the wall? And if you work a certain number of hours on the wall or work hard enough on the wall, then you can get citizenship. Well, that's a pretty good idea. There's plenty of ways to work on citizenship that's not pure amnesty. People could pay a fine. But here's the reason that you can't just deport everybody. What about the wives or husbands that are American citizens that will lose their spouse and maybe their support, financially speaking? They're innocent. You would say, no, Sam, they're not innocent. They married somebody that's illegal. Yeah, but they didn't break any laws. Maybe the illegal coming in the country broke a law. They're here illegally. But the spouse is innocent. They didn't break any laws. The children, who may or may not be illegal, aren't responsible. What about citizen children and a wife that's American? And what do they do if their husband is deported and he's the only form of support they have? So we need to understand that as we approach this, we need to make sure that we don't create more collateral family damage than good. And there's got to be a way to go about this. And I propose a system of options. You know, sir, you can leave within the next 60 days. We'll give you a little bit of time to get your act together. But if you leave in 60 days, we're going to make a way to reward you for obeying the law. When you get the chance to come out from the underground and you obey the law and you leave within 60 days, we're going to put you in a list that'll let you come back. Because you have ties in America, maybe you have property, maybe you have dependents that we need to help take care of. We're going to give you a chance here, but we got to make this another way. We're going to fine you. We're going to give you a certain amount of time to come out from the underground and come on record and become a citizen. And we need to create ways to reward those who are willing to instantly solve the problem. And the quicker you're willing to solve the problem and come out of the shadows, the more we believe you want to partner with our solutions. And there's ways to not grant pure amnesty, but ways to not divide families and ways to not harm innocent children and women and sometimes even men who may be disabled or different things. There's a lot of family dynamics that we need to consider here. And we need to find a way not to reward this type of behavior, not to reward those who have broken the law, but a way to separate true criminals from those who just want a better life. And just because someone crossed a line, a border, that doesn't mean they're an evil or a bad person in any way. Yeah, it means they broke the law, but we also encouraged them, and literally Barack Obama gave the blessing to do that. So as other presidents with the incredible carrots we've been handing out. So we need to take personal responsibility as well. And how do we create a balance that makes sense? How do we not reward them and give them amnesty, but how do we do things in a way? If you get a sponsor, in other words, an employer to vouch for you, if you've been here longer than a certain amount of time, and you'd say, well, why reward people who have broken the law longer? Because many of these people have built wonderful lives and really done great here. If they're not criminals, they deserve a little bit of respect for that. What about many of them who have paid some taxes? Okay, the issue is very, very complicated. And we need to for sure get rid of the criminals. We need to for sure stop the border leak and lock down the border. In other words, you're not coming here illegally. You're not doing it anymore. Once we stop that flow and deport all the criminals, now we can talk about solutions and options. I've thrown out several of them. Kurt, what are your thoughts? I know everybody wants to just be hardcore on immigration, but I think there's a lot of innocent people that are going to get harmed if we don't really contemplate how to best do this in a way that's productive, that does not reward bad behavior, but does protect innocent people, and find a way to move forward.
You know, as far as I can see, Sam, you know, the wall needs to be built. That, frankly, is just simply a protection system for both sides of the border, I think. You know, you've got the ranchers and the cattlemen and people like that that simply don't want criminals, you know, cruising into their areas, their property, like it's been happening down on the Arizona borders. You've got areas where you've got cities and that kind of thing where apparently we do have some fencing, but you know, the things we've seen is those are easily, I guess you could say, climbed or whatever. We need a way to protect it on both sides. We don't want bad guys going from America into Mexico or bad guys coming from Mexico into America. Whether they're, you know, from whatever place they are, we need civility. We need people, some kind of control on those borders, in my opinion. And those were the promises that he made, and they need to be kept. Now, apparently, according to some of the Sunday news shows, he said he would accept a fence in certain areas.
It's not what he promised.
That's right. And people want to see action and results, and they want to see honesty from all areas, whether it's the New York Times or the people they elect, president and whatever else. Honesty would sure be a nice, I guess you could just say a nice feature in our lives these days, you know. On this whole how to deport illegal criminals or aliens, from what I can see, this is simply easily done county by county with good elected sheriffs and people like that. And there's been some reports that are already saying that certain people are already headed back, because they see the writing on the wall, if you will, or whatever. But like you said, if we make America where it's a better place, and Mexico and other, all these other places where we get rid of bad guys, especially the drug lords and, things like that, then we shouldn't have the problems we've been dealing with at the border, as well as cut off those, handout programs, both, in my opinion, both to Americans and to anybody else.
Kurt's absolutely right. And there are ways to solve these problems, folks. And all I'm telling you is we need to do so kindly, protecting innocence, but also holding the line. Donald promised a wall. He better build a wall. A fence doesn't cut it. Otherwise, he should have said, I'll strengthen the border or whatever. He didn't say that. He said, I'll build a wall. It's going to be a beautiful wall. Get it done. Liberty Roundtable Live.